This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. Hey Catherine, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm great. How are you?
I am very good, thank you. Now, some people have spent their time this year, you know, pretty chilled out, but you've been very busy indeed. I've got next to me two books by you.
Yes, well, of course, one of them was written last year, but the other one was written, of course, The Great Advantage, I think. The way to get work done during a pandemic is make other people do it for you. Because, of course, the book you've got there is called The Book of Hopes, and it's an anthology. So I wrote one of the stories, but 132 other people did all the rest of the work.
Now, exactly, you're exactly right. That's one of the two books I've got next to me. I received it on a very grey day. I didn't know I was going to get it. I opened up the package and, oh, my heart sprung out with joy. It was incredible because the people you've managed to get involved are amazing. What did you say to them to help to get them to do something for you?
Oh, well, I was... the way it started was during the first bit of the pandemic when it was all very new and very frightening. So in March and April, I thought, well, I am struggling slightly to find hope and I would imagine children might be too. So I emailed more than 100 of the children's writers and illustrators that I love most and asked them to produce something. And it would be something very short for the writers, less than 500 words, so just a couple of pages in a book, that would create hope. And it was not that it had to be about hope, not like essays about hope, but stories that you would come away feeling more hopeful, whether that's because they made you laugh or they made you forget or they made you wonder. And I just wrote to people saying, I don't know if you're finding it hard, but I am. And if you are, would you have a moment just to put something together that might make it just a little bit easier for the children on the other end? And so many people said yes. I was just truly amazed. We had Jacqueline Wilson and Michael Morpurgo and Lauren Child does Charlie and Lola and Axel Scheffler who does The Gruffalo and Anjali Rolfe who did The Boy at the Back of the Class and Catherine Johnson who does wonderful historical novels. Just so many fabulous writers.
You really do. I mean, you've got some, I like to call them fun kid friends. A lot of authors that I've chatted to as well. You've got Danny Wallace, M.G. Leonard, Liz Pichon. It's just, and the back of the book, so I got the book and I was actually talking to one of the fun kids bosses as I opened it on Zoom. And he was like, Bex, I've never seen you this happy before. Because it's just such a joyous book. So yeah, if our listeners are wondering, it's basically a collection of work that you've never seen before from your favourite authors, all popped together in one quite hopeful and inspiring big hardback book. And it must have been so exciting when people said yes.
I was absolutely amazed. I had sort of thought, well, say I ask about 100, 150 people, maybe like 20 might say yes. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody said yes, because I think for most people, it was such a strange time. And I think for a lot of people, it was quite hard to concentrate. I think a lot of people, both children and adults, found themselves at a loss for a way to get back to the things they had loved. Like maybe you loved books or maybe you loved TV and the newness of the pandemic sort of shook us away from that. And so the idea was because it would be short, it would be just short enough for us just to sort of take a gulp of reading and get back into it that way.
And I don't want to, I mean, this is really putting you on the spot here, and I don't want to be rude, but is there a favourite entry in there?
Well, I mean, it's enormously undiplomatic, but I can say that I do because it has turned out to be many people's favourite. I do love them all so wildly, but there's one poem by Catherine Johnson about an axolotl, which is a bit like a sort of lizardy thing. And it's called Axolotl at Bedtime, and it's a poem for the axolotl. And every end of the line rhymes with axolotl. So it's, you know, give him chocolotl, not a lottle in a bottle. It's absolutely fabulous.
It's such a great book. And if you're not like a big reader as well, like you say, it's kind of short stories and also lots of amazing pictures. So many amazing pictures. I took pictures of them to send to my dad. I was like, Dad, look at this one and this one. And he's like, all right, Vex, thanks. That's helpful. But it is a beautiful book. And you must just be so proud of being able to put something out there like in quite a dark time that will really help people.
I'm really, really thrilled. So Bloomsbury, the publisher of it, did such a beautiful job making it really lovely to look at. The front cover is by Axel Scheffler, the illustrator of The Gruffalo. And Nobody got paid to work, no one got paid for their pieces, and every copy donates money to NHS Charities Together, and it's dedicated to all the nurses and doctors and porters and administrators and cleaners working currently in hospitals during this pandemic to keep us safe, because, you know, they are the true things that wild heroic tales are made of.
I couldn't agree more. It is an absolutely beautiful book. So if people see it in the bookshops, go and grab a copy. The Book of Hopes is out right now. And also, we've got another book to talk about, which I never have with authors. You've got two. I've got two books here. The other book we need to chat about is The Good Thieves, which is your newest adventure story. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. So The Good Thieves has just come out in paperback, and it was one of the ones I loved writing. It's set in New York City in the 1920s, and a young girl called Vita arrives and discovers that her grandfather has been swindled out of everything he owns by a notorious villain, a con man in New York City. And they're trying to find a lawyer to make everything right, but in those days, if you didn't have money, you couldn't really get a lawyer. And so she decides to take matters into her own hands, and she's going to steal back one specific thing that is going to make everything all right. But to do that, they're going to need to break into this old, ruined, castle-like building on the outskirts of New York State on the Hudson River. And so she gets together a gang of children who are going to be able to do a heist. So they are doing a crime. They are breaking the law, because it's about loving recklessly when you love something so much that you are willing to sort of do anything at all that it takes to make something bad good again. And so she gets together a group of children. One of them is a trapeze artist. One of them is an animal tamer to tame the guard dogs. And then a girl who's a pickpocket and a lockpick who can get them into any building. And together they mount a plan.
Great description. So the friends you've talked about there, is that Silk, Samuel and Arcady? Is that right? I didn't know how to pronounce it. Is it Arcady or Arcady? I wasn't sure when I was reading it.
I don't really know either. I have Russian cousins and I think they say Arcady. So I think we'll go with that.
All right, we'll take that. So that was really cool then, because you've created like a brand new gang basically in the book.
Exactly. I mean, it was so much fun. I love the idea of a heist. And if anyone listening hasn't heard that word, a heist is a little bit like just a crime. But the thing that makes it a heist is it tends to have a group of people, each with their own individual skill, and it has to have a twist. And I loved the idea of writing twists, things which happen which you don't see coming.
You're also excellent at describing the world of New York at that time. Like, I really felt like I was there. I felt like I was in kind of Bugsy Malone era. It was pretty exciting.
Well, I loved researching it. I think one of the most fun bits of being a writer is that you get to seek out the real world and then you bend it to your fictional world. So there was so much going on in 1920s New York. So, for instance, all the speakeasies, hidden pubs and bars that you would only be able to go to if you knew the secret password, and they would be hidden behind hidden doors in bookshops or even a sort of wool shop or underwear shops. And then also two of the characters come from a circus, and the circus is in Carnegie Hall, a very grand concert hall in the center of Manhattan, New York City. And that's based on real life, and a circus really did come to New York City, and elephants really did perform on the stage of Carnegie Hall. And so I stole that and took it and used it for the story.
I don't blame you at all. It does make such a thrilling kind of adventure story. It's very fast paced. Was there a particular bit where you were writing it? You were like, oh my goodness, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I'm going to just keep writing.
Yes, that happens a lot. And of course, what happens also is that you write and you write and you get so excited. But because it's a book with a lot of different moving parts, there's a lot of twists and turns. So sometimes I would write something and then I'd realize, that can't happen because of something that has to happen 18 chapters later. You had to make sure that every stepping stone led to the next one.
My goodness, it's such an exciting book to read. And it's, I saw a lot of people describe it as a modern classic, which must be a pretty nice description of your work, right?
It's very lovely when people enjoy it. And when you write, all you can do is hope that some people will feel like it's the kind of story that sort of grabs you by the wrist and pulls you along and doesn't let you go. That's the thing that I want most to write.
And you've also created just such a great character in Vita as well. She's just such a likable person.
I loved writing her. So Vita, the main character, is the one, she has the plan and she is able to hold multiple moving parts of a plan in her head. And she also, she has polio when she was younger. So she has one foot that turns inwards, which is based on somebody, a much older person who I knew who grew up with polio. And I also wanted the book to be, in a very quiet way, just part of this new shift. Where in the past, if you think of all the James Bond books, we used to use people with physical difference or disability as a sort of shorthand way for talking about evil. So like if you had a hook for a hand or a scar on your face, it was a way of showing that in James Bond world, you were going to be the bad character. And of course, that's such wild, crazy nonsense. And I wanted to be part of this new wave of books that we have. Another brilliant one is Frank Cottrell Boyce's Runaway Robot, where children with physical difference are shown to be just with unique abilities and a unique way of seeing the world, which is what Vita has and which is what allows her to take the world on.
It's such a such a good point. Tom Fletcher actually did that with his book The Christmasaurus as well. And I remember reading at the time and being like, it is a really good shift. You're right. It's a really good thing to be doing now. I think a lot of authors are picking up on it.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm so glad because I go to a lot of schools, at least I used to, and you know, you would have this sense that you'd go into a school and there will always be in a class a child with a physical difference, because we are all, you humans are built to be different. And if children's books aren't representing that, then that's a problem.
You are absolutely bang on, and I am thrilled that this book is out there. It's so good. So everybody will probably see your name in a lot of bookshops at the moment, either on the Book of Hopes or the Good Thieves, and I'm pretty sure they should go and grab both if they can, right?
I hope so. That would be my dream.
Catherine, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Thanks. So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.